Sports betting with BetOnline can be intriguing even if you're not a diehard sports fan. Beyond traditional sports, BetOnline gives you the options to bet on political events like the outcome of the presidential election, whether Hunter Biden will serve jail time before 2025, or who will be the next Republican speaker. Political betting allows you to wager on real-world events outside the realm of sports. Or if you are a diehard sports fan, BetOnline makes sports betting more accessible and convenient than ever before. With just a few clicks, you can place bets on your favorite teams or events from the comfort of your own home. BetOnline prides themselves on their higher-than-average betting limits of up to $25,000, and you can increase your wagering amount by contacting their player service desk by phone or email. So whether you're watching your favorite team or the news of the upcoming elections, why not spice things up with a friendly wager on BetOnline? Go to betonline.ag to place your bets today. Use promo code DAILYWIRE for a 50% instant deposit bonus of up to $1,000. That's betonline.ag and use promo code DAILYWIRE. BetOnline, the options are endless.
The battle to keep Eric Ciarmella's name secret continues. Eric, the anonymous Ciarmella who leaked information about Donald Trump's phone call to the president of Ukraine, has had his name, Eric Ciarmella, kept tightly guarded so that no one would reveal his name, Eric Ciarmella. Adam Schiff, who said he had not conspired with Eric Ciarmella, but actually did conspire with Eric Ciarmella, has demanded that Eric Ciarmella's name not be released because he fears for the life of his impeachment investigation. For instance, if Eric Ciarmella's name were known, people might find out Eric Ciarmella is a Democrat holdover from the Obama White House, who may have traveled to Ukraine with the totally honest Joe Biden on that completely uncorrupt trip when Biden so innocently threatened to withhold aid from that country if they didn't fire the prosecutor who is investigating Biden's totally blameless son for holding a completely normal $50,000 a month job he knew nothing about, not at all because his father was vice president of the United States, not to mention a friend of anonymous leaker, Eric Ciarmella. Eric Ciarmella also worked for John Brennan, the mysteriously egg-shaped man who joined the CIA after voting for a communist, but was so totally not a Russian mole that he advised Barack Obama on Homeland Security during the years Obama negotiated a deal with Iran and allowed ISIS to take over a caliphate the size of Ohio. Although Eric Ciarmella has not been named, it is believed he was fired from his post in the White House on suspicion of leaking anti-Trump information to the press, and it's even possible Eric Ciarmella worked with the FBI to sabotage the Trump campaign and spread lies about Trump's collusion with Russia. This would make him a deep state conspirator who should be named as Eric Ciarmella, as opposed to an actual whistleblower who could not be named as Eric Ciarmella. Democrats, however, still want to keep Ciarmella's name secret because they're concerned for his safety. After all, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. Trigger warning. I'm Andrew Klavan, and this is The Andrew Klavan Show.
I feel hunky-dunky. Life is tickety-boo. Birds are winging, also singing hunky-dunky-dee-doo. Ship-shaped, ipsy-topsy. The world is zippity-zing. It's a wonderful day. Hurrah, hooray. It makes me want to sing. Oh, hurrah, hooray.
One of the true highlights of my year, this year, not 2019, was teaching at Hillsdale College as the Eugene C. Pulliam Distinguished Visiting Fellow in Journalism. Although, especially for my visit, they replaced the word distinguished with graceful and erotically compelling. I'm not sure what that was about. I was teaching a group of kids largely from Christian homeschooled backgrounds, which you might think would have limited their outlook and open-mindedness, but if you did think that, you would be wrong. My class was on covering the culture as a journalist, and one of my classes was specifically on covering issues of sexuality. At some point, I asked the students if there was such a thing as manhood or womanhood. The class divided, mostly along the lines of the two sexes, with men saying definitely yes and women more flexible, which is what I would have predicted for reasons we'll discuss another time. Then we debated it and ultimately reached what seemed to me a sensible consensus that there are inherent sexual traits, but individuals differ, and there's room to move and choose even within your own sexually determined tendencies. That seems realistic. It was only a few hours later that it dawned on me that if I had had such a discussion at Yale or UCLA or indeed on YouTube, I could have been reviled, banned, or even fired, not at conservative Christian Hillsdale. Now, I don't know how many left-leaning people listen to this podcast, aside from the evil clowns at Media Matters who produce nothing while trying to shut other people up. But if you are on the left, it would seem to me you would want to shut down the shut-uppers as much as we on the right do, because they make you stupid. They don't allow you to sharpen your outlook or change your mind in free and open debate. And also because it's just damn suspicious that they don't want you to hear the other side of the question. Last year, a study suggested this might be true, finding that 80% of Americans, 80% of Americans believe, quote, political correctness is a problem in our country. This means the news media, who withhold or play down news that looks bad for Democrats, Hollywood and publishing, where they suppress the artwork of conservatives, and the Academy, where they demonize conservatives and force children to lie about their views to get acceptable grades, are not just the enemies of conservatives, but of most liberals, too. They are truly enemies of all the people. Americans want to talk to one another. I feel absolutely sure of this, which means we need venues for this to take place. Something those of us who love this country and the people in it, people who are on the left and the right, ought to be thinking about as we move to transform the culture. All right, we'll talk about this more, and we'll talk about some of the stuff that's going on in the impeachment hearing and how phony it is and how you ought to be looking at that more carefully. But first, let us talk about So Clean. If you haven't heard about So Clean, it's the fast, easy way to maintain your sleep equipment. You know, if you have that condition, CPAP, you need to put these things in your mouth overnight. I have friends who have this. It's really something you have to deal with. And So Clean maintains your sleep equipment without the hassle of taking your equipment apart. You got to keep it clean so it doesn't carry bacteria. So Clean gives you the peace of mind knowing your sleep equipment is properly maintained every night. So Clean is the fast, easy way to maintain your sleep equipment. It's easy to use. You just put the equipment in, close the lid, walk away. The So Clean is convenient and user-friendly. So Clean has approximately 9,000 five-star reviews. It's 100% waterless. It's HSA, FSA approved. Right now, for our listeners, you can try So Clean risk-free for 30 nights. Even shipping is free. So don't wait and go to SoClean.com to take advantage of this 30-night risk-free trial and free shipping. Again, that's SoClean.com. Go to SoClean.com because you got to keep this equipment clean if you're using it so you don't get a worse condition than you already got. Another Kingdom is out tomorrow. I've been traveling. I have no idea what day it is anymore, but I suspect it's something like Thursday. So that would mean tomorrow is Friday. And the new Another Kingdom will be out. I have been getting letters about this last Another Kingdom, which had a bit of a shock in it. And you want to listen to it before somebody tells you about it. But I've been getting incredible emails and just really praising the performance of the lead actor. I forget his name, Noel something. But anyway, he is absolutely doing a great job. The sound guys are unbelievable, doing a terrific production job. You really want to listen to it. I wish you would, because it's just, a really good piece of work, and that's really being well done. So they've scheduled open impeachment hearings for next week, okay? Theoretically open impeachment hearings. And let's just listen to the way CBS News, Nora O'Donnell, who really, she is really bad. She's not just bad, she's stiff and performative on the news, but she's so prejudiced, so biased that anyone with any sense of fairness has got to listen to her and think, wait a minute, this isn't the news, these are Democrat talking points. But you got to listen to this, the way she promotes the upcoming impeachment hearings.
Tonight, lights, cameras, testimony. The stage is set for the first televised hearings of the impeachment inquiry. We now know when they will happen and who may be the Democrats' star witness. Good evening, and thank you for joining us. It's official, historic. Televised impeachment hearings begin a week from today, and it promises to be must-see TV. The Democrats plan to start with their star witness, a West Point grad with 50 years of public service. Acting U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Bill Taylor, will testify Wednesday alongside Deputy Assistant Secretary of State George Kent. Then on Friday, former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, will testify. House Democrats say that's just the beginning. Today, more of the Democrats released more transcripts from those closed-door depositions, and Nancy Cordes says they offer a preview of what's expected to be bombshell testimony.
Bombshell. It's a bombshell. Lights, camera, action. I mean, it's like over at Newsbusters, they said it's like a prize fight, but it's just like promotion for entertainment. It's promotion for a movie. It's a blockbuster. It's a shocking.
Oh, my God!
Who is that? What the hell is that? This is the people back say they've lost control. They have lost control. It's the drugs, folks. I mean, come on. You know, this is California. Marijuana is now legal. I've got an entire production crew back there stoned out of their minds. Anyway, they're promoting this thing like it's a movie. And here's a piece that the Washington Post ran on Adam Schiff, all right, the congressman in my district. Now, this guy to me is like a greasy McCarthyite, dishonest guy. He's been caught lying repeatedly, right? He lied about the whistleblower. He lied about having evidence of Russian collusion with Trump. He has just lied from the beginning. Plus, he looks like a turtle taken out of his shell. I'm sorry, but he does. He looks like a turtle. A guy is a turtle taken out of his shell, and he lies all the time. And the left, both the New York Times, a former newspaper, and the Washington Post, where democracy dies in crap, are trying to glorify this guy, to make him look like a romantic figure. It is utterly amazing. I mean, people do have eyes. They do have ears. They do see things, but they're living in their own world. So here's the thing. Adam Schiff once wanted to be a screenwriter. Can he give the Trump presidency a Hollywood ending? Now, we know what the Washington Post, this is in the style section, by the way, and we know what the Washington Post thinks a Hollywood ending to the Trump presidency would be. It's Trump led out of the White House in handcuffs. Ain't going to happen. But let me read you some of this, because it actually does tell you exactly what's happening when you think about it. When Adam Schiff was a young assistant U.S. attorney living in Los Angeles, he did what everyone does when they move to Hollywood. He wrote a screenplay. He spent hours at the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, reading the scripts for Silence of the Lambs and Witness in the library. It was the 90s. He leaned on his courtroom experience, thinking back on snippets of dialogue during trials as he typed out a crime thriller. The prosecutor was the hero, naturally. He called it Minotaur. And if you ask Schiff, it was pretty good. A quote from Schiff: I got an offer of an option from Nick Wexler, Schiff said, leaning back in a leather chair inside his Capitol Hill office late last month. He produced The Player, with that movie with Tim Robbins. Schiff turned down the offer, he said. He doesn't remember it being a huge sum of money. And anyway, he was getting into a different kind of storytelling business, politics. In some ways, this is the Washington Post glorifying this guy and yet also playing his hand. In some ways, he's become the chief storyteller of this drama-filled political moment. Schiff is the head of the House Intelligence Committee and leader of Democrats' impeachment inquiry of President Trump. He's in charge of calling witnesses, taking depositions, and subpoenaing documents. More than that, it's his job to stitch it all together into a believable, easy-to-follow narrative. Imagine the pitch meeting. It's like the Manchurian candidate, except the president has heel spurs. It's the Godfather meets Borat. All right. So they're telling you, you know, I talk about this on college campuses a lot because really my expertise is storytelling. That is what I've done all my life. That's what I know about. I've studied it a lot. I've studied it deeply, I would say. I know about narrative and how it works, and I know about how it affects people and about how stories manipulate your emotions. And they make, you know, again, I think I mentioned this yesterday. You go to a movie and you cry over the death of someone who never lived, right? And that's an important thing. It tells you that your emotions can be manipulated at a very, very high level. And it's a good thing. We like it when it's done right. But it can also be used against you, because they can manipulate emotions that are geared toward one thing and tell you that they're about another. The best example I can think about is a movie like Avatar, which is also the movie Dances with Wolves, which is also the movie Pocahontas. They're all the same movie. A man from a civilized, in these cases, white society enters the world of a less civilized, non-white society and discovers that they're the innocents and they're these wonderful, what did they call them in the old days? This is the noble savage, and his society is deeply corrupt. And that's the story in each one of those instances, right? That his civilized society is bad, and the evil and the innocent brown people with their primitive society is good. And that plays into, listen, all stories that move you are telling a truth, but it's up to you to find out what that truth is. And the truth is, we all know that there's something distorting about technology. There's something distorting about civilization. Freud called it civilization and its discontents. And we all have this Rousseauian feel that there's something we left behind. Just like we have a feeling that there's something we left behind in childhood, maybe those feelings are connected, okay? So they're manipulating that to tell you that the white cavalrymen in the West were bad and the Native Americans were good. They're manipulating a true feeling to tell you something that is historically, that's a lot more complicated than that, right? Historically, it's a lot more complicated. And Avatar, it's even worse because they're manipulating you to think that the American military is bad. And basically, they were telling you that the Iraqis and the Afghanistan and the Afghanis were innocent people and we were going in there to steal their oil. That's crazy.
I know, that's crazy.
It's just what I was going to say. Maybe these are just voices in my head. I don't know. If you're hearing them, it is what I was going to say. It is crazy. I'm beginning to feel a little bit like a schizophrenic. Anyway, this is what they're doing, manipulating us. They're playing this up. It's a dramatic moment in politics. It's not dramatic. It's really not. We know what the story is. We know the real story. We know that this is something that's been going on for a long time. They've been trying to get this president impeached from the beginning. So it's all about a narrative, right? A narrative that they are selling you, that this Ukraine thing somehow affects your life, somehow affects the Constitution. It does none of those things. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. The quid pro quo thing is hilarious because there's always quid pro quo to all political aid, to all foreign aid. There's always quid pro quos. There's nothing wrong with Trump asking Ukraine to investigate corruption that might have involved Joe Biden, even if there is something wrong. And this is one thing, you know, I've told you that I am not as fair as, say, Ben Shapiro. I believe in freedom. I believe the goal is to move the ball toward the goal of freedom. And if a team is moving the ball in that direction and they commit a little offsides penalty, I might, as the referee, look the other way because the ball is going in the right direction. And that direction is so important. That liberty, it comes and goes. It doesn't last long. It doesn't come back after it's gone. It is not worth sacrificing liberty for some minor infraction. So even if Trump did something, and I kind of think he opened his big mouth like he always does, you know, but even if he did something and his call was not as perfect as he says it was, I don't care. It is not affecting my freedom. It's not damaging the Constitution. But what I was going to say is, even though I'm not always absolutely neutral, because I'm not neutral, I'm in favor of liberty, this is something where I am neutral. I would have said the same exact thing about Barack Obama. In all my life, including the Nixon Watergate hearings, the only time I ever heard of an impeachable offense was when Obama used the IRS to silence the Tea Party during a debate. And it might have been an impeachable offense what he did when he spied on the Trump campaign. But other than that, I feel a lot of this stuff has been blown out of proportion. I felt the same way about Clinton. So to me, it's all about narrative. This is all about a story that they're telling, manipulating your emotions. And I'll get back to that in just a minute because there's some really interesting stuff out today about this. But first, let us talk about Ancestry, Ancestry.com, because this is something, you know, a lot of times I test out all the products or sometimes I have to have somebody test it out if it's not something I would use. But I test out all the sponsors that I come to you with. I don't want to sell you anything that you don't want or that I can't back. All right. And sometimes testing these things out is a chore. But Ancestry.com is really, really pleasant. This is something I really enjoy doing. It is fun, and it's just fun to get the information. Ancestry DNA doesn't just tell you which countries you're from, but also can pinpoint the specific regions within them. It gives you insightful geographic detail about your history, traces the paths of your recent ancestors, learn how and why your family moved from place to place around the world. No other DNA test delivers such a unique, interactive experience. You can combine what you learn from your DNA with over 100 million family trees and billions of records for more insight into your genealogy and origins. Save big on Ancestry DNA with a special holiday pricing and spark meaningful conversations around the holiday dinner table with your family. Really interesting to do. Give the gift that can unwrap their history. Head to my URL at ancestry.com/Klavan to get your Ancestry DNA kit on sale today. That's ancestry.com/Klavan. And of course, you have to know about my family. Namely, how do you spell Klavan?
B-A-N, there are no E's in Klavan.
Again, I can't tell whether these are voices in my head or people. You can hear these too, but if you could hear it, that is how you spell Klavan. You know, I keep thinking about Pinocchio. I keep thinking, remember that scene, this Disney's Pinocchio, where all Pinocchio wants, he's a marionette. And all he wants is to be a real boy. And remember, he sings that song. There it is.
Slow me down to make me red or make me brown.
So he's so happy to be a real boy. I want to be a real boy. And that's the whole thing, the whole story about Pinocchio. Adam Schiff is marionetting the news media to turn them into his Hollywood movie. The Washington Post spelled it out for you. He is marionetting the news media to turn them into his Hollywood, where he failed, where he was a wannabe screenwriter who didn't make it, into his movie. They want to produce their movie. And unlike Pinocchio, who wanted to have no strings, the media loves it. You could see Nora O'Donnell, the way she's standing in this kind of action language and the language she uses about blockbusters and lights, camera, action. They are so willing to do this thing. I mean, they really are. They're so willing to be Adam Schiff's Hollywood, to make the movie that Adam Schiff wants to make. And that's something, I feel like liberals should be just, I don't want to call them liberals because I don't think the left is that liberal, but left-wingers, people who lean left, let's say, people who aren't far left. They're not Elizabeth Warren. They're not Bernie Sanders. They're not all those candidates. They're people who are just kind of on the middle, you know, but I'm on the right of the middle, they're on the left of the middle. You would think that they would say, hey, tell me the truth, I will decide. Just tell me what's going on. Blockbusters, you know, lights, camera, action is a blockbuster. You know, you would think if you were a liberal, you would be feeling like slapped in the face. You would just think that you would be saying, hey, I get it. You're voting for the same candidates I am. You know, there's a lot of things in life, I've said this before, a lot of things in life that feel good when you're doing them, but they actually make your life less. Drugs, sometimes sex, certainly adulterous sex, things that, you know, too much focus on money, putting money at the center of your life. These things feel good when you do them. They don't feel bad. They feel good. And the same is true of being lied to, of only hearing your own opinions. If you only hear your own opinions, then, you know, it feels good because it's disturbing to hear other people's opinions. It's disturbing. I mean, if you've ever been on a jury, it's disturbing to see how differently people perceive things. And you just think like, are you kidding? You were in the same courtroom. I was, how could you say that? It's disturbing. It feels good not to have that experience. But surely, somewhere along the line, people on the left, in the moderate left, they have to be saying, stop treating me like an idiot. Stop telling me what I want to hear. Tell me the truth. Karl Rove writes a really, you remember Karl Rove, right? He was George W. Bush's main political guy. W called him the architect of his political campaigns. He writes a really interesting article, column in the Wall Street Journal today, where it's called When I Faced Adam Schiff. And he talks about the fact that Schiff is a screenwriter and that how he lied, all the stuff we've been talking about. And he says now the would-be dramatist says the same thing as staging a new production, impeaching the president. His script features secret sessions in the Capitol basement, anonymous whistleblowers, constant and selective leaks of testimony, and of course, a brilliant performance by the heroic lead, Adam Schiff. And Rove says, count me as a skeptic. And not only because we know how this drama is likely to end with an almost straight party line vote by the House to impeach Mr. Trump and a near straight party line vote by the Senate not to remove him from office. See, this is the other thing. And let me go off on a tangent here for a minute, because this is the other thing. We do know pretty much how this will end. Andy McCarthy over at National Review is saying, well, it's kind of a wild process. It could get out of control. Of course, that's true. That's true of anything. And he's right to say it. But Cocaine Mitch McConnell came out with this comment, which is really interesting. What he said he thought would happen in the Senate. And not only is it interesting, it's interesting that McConnell is not telling a story. He's playing real hardball politics here. Here's Cocaine.
Say, I'm pretty sure how it's likely to end. If it were today, I don't think there's any question, it would not lead to a removal. So the question is how long does the Senate want to take? How long do the presidential candidates want to be here on the floor of the Senate instead of in Iowa and New Hampshire? And all of these other related issues that may be going on at the same time. It's very difficult to ascertain, you know, how long this takes.
See, that's Cocaine Mitch telling the left that two can play at this game of politics, and he's very good at it. Because what he's saying is, yeah, you want to be tied up in the Senate when you're supposed to be out there campaigning? You want to Bring it on. Bring it into the Senate. It could take us 6 months to do this here. We may have to hold these impeachment hearings for 6 months while you could be out campaigning. But instead, you're going to have to be here. And if you're not here, we'll hold the vote without you. He's telling the truth. And that's why a lot of people here at the Daily Wire, a lot of people say that once Nancy Pelosi committed to this, she has to follow through with an impeachment vote. I'm not so sure. I am not so sure the whole thing isn't a campaign tactic on your dime, that the Democrats are not using your tax money to stage a campaign. And what they do is they drag this out and they drag it out. Remember, originally the vote was going to come before Thanksgiving. Let's see. It could. And, you know, I could be wrong about this, but it's really hard to tell whether this is just a complete charade, just a complete campaign tactic, because what they're going to do, what I think they could do, is just drag it out and drag it out and then say, you know what? The election is coming up. Let's let the people decide. So now they've had all this press. They have Norah O'Donnell. It's a blockbuster. Lights, camera, action. They've had all that movie. They've played the movie, but they don't have to play the ending, because the whole thing was, the ending was never supposed to be impeachment. The ending was supposed to be them winning an election. And I think that that is a real possibility. Watch this story that came out today. This story has been out before, but now they feel they have some other witness who says this. And it's another one of these anonymous source people who know the situation say stories. But it was, Trump wanted Attorney General Barr to publicly clear him over the Ukraine call, and Barr refused the request, which came after the White House released a rough transcript of the call with the Ukrainian president. Watch this story vanish. And the reason the story is going to vanish is because they think it shows that Trump is dishonest. But what it really shows is that Barr is honest. We know Obama did this stuff. He and Eric Holder. Eric Holder was his wingman. He said it. We know he covered up the Fast and Furious scandal and the attorney general and Obama conspired together to do that. So come on. You know, this is something that presidents do. They use their political power. But Barr is so honest, he wouldn't do it. And they don't want that, because Barr's the guy who's going to come out with the Obamagate story, and they want to tar him. And that's what a lot of this is all about. So this story is going to vanish down the memory hole because it doesn't fit the narrative, and it's all about the narrative. All right, let me get back to Rove. Rove had this experience, right? He says, I'm skeptical about all this, because I was cast in an earlier shift production following my September 2007 departure as Deputy White House Chief of Staff. He says, the House Judiciary Committee subpoenaed me to answer questions regarding the Bush administration's removal of 9 U.S. attorneys, right? They were removed for cause. And they also wanted to question him about a Democratic governor of Alabama who was convicted of bribery and fraud and sentenced to 7 years. Now, you remember this. This was a big deal. George W. Bush removed 9 U.S. attorneys, and suddenly they serve at the president's pleasure. Just like the FBI director, he had every right to fire him. It happens all the time. Sometimes they fire all the U.S. attorneys and then handpick which ones they want to keep. But these guys were fired for cause, and they turned it into a scandal, as they did with everything George W. Bush did, and they do with Donald Trump. Whatever he says, even if he says good morning, it's a scandal. So he had this experience. Rove had this experience. A New York Times editorial supported the Judiciary Committee's demand, speculating that I may have been directly involved in the possible illegal firings Mr. Siegelman's prosecution, the prosecution of this guy, appears to have been politically motivated, on and on and on. None of this was true. It was not none of it true. And it's all you can hear in the language of the Times. It may have happened. It could be. It's all this stuff. They were just supporting it. Schiff came into the question Rove. He says he wasn't even prepared. His staff gave him a large notebook full of questions, which he was evidently seeing for the first time. There were long pauses as he reviewed questions before asking them. He was repetitive, leading my lawyers to object frequently. He barely touched one of the issues. He never raised the accusations. And his staffers later admitted to me that they found their witness against him unreliable. Following my appearance, in the interest of transparency, I gave my emails and other documents to reporters. I didn't want to wait for Schiff and Conyers to spin the information. And as one of them said, House Judiciary Committee Chairman John Conyers explained, we're closing in on Rove. Someone's got to kick his ass. Rove says, I didn't want anybody to kick my ass. So he released everything. So he was transparent. Predictably, they accused me of sidestepping an agreement not to discuss my testimony. I had never made any such agreement. And so they just spun this thing. He had the experience of them spinning this thing to create a narrative. And the thing is, we know. We know this was planned. You know, Mark Zaid, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He's the whistleblower's lawyer. Eric Sciarmella, who we won't name, his lawyer was Mark Zaid. And he wrote emails saying that they were planning a coup. And I think it was yesterday at one of his rallies, Trump read Zaid's emails to the crowd. Here it is.
They say January 2017, a coup has started. And the impeachment will follow, ultimately. It's all a hoax. It's a scam. And you know who helps them? These people right back here, the media. And then it said, oops, the light's going to go off. The CNN light is going to go off. It said, from the lawyer, a sleazeball. It said, I predict at CNN will play a key role in at real Donald Trump not finishing out his first term. Can you believe this? This is a whole, and this was done a long time ago. Then he goes, as one falls, two more will take their place, referring to outgoing Trump administration employees who, by the way, have been put through hell by the sleaze back there and by crooked politicians.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, it is pretty amazing when Trump, who can be bombastic, who can be overlarge and exaggerate and all that stuff, when he's just speaking the simple truth, it is pretty amazing that they have turned Trump into an absolute truth teller by their over the top behavior. And the thing is, this is why, because it's a narrative, this is why silence and control are so important to the left. And this is what I'm talking about when I say that left-wingers should be offended by this. Left-wingers should want the truth. They should want to see things clearly. They're still going to make decisions based on their left-leaning perspective. I understand that. We have different sides. It's okay to have different sides. It's okay to have debate. It is not okay to have one side of the debate shut down. I want to just show you a clip of Tulsi Gabbard was on The View, and she's talking to Joy Behar. And Gabbard is protesting the fact that they accused her of being a Russian asset and supported Hillary Clinton in her completely nonsensical idea that Gabbard is a Russian asset. Hey, maybe it's not nonsensical, but before you say that about somebody, you got to deliver the proof. You have got to deliver the proof. And there's been no proof of that whatsoever, except the fact that Hillary Clinton disagrees and she's got Russia on the bagogo, you know. So listen to what Joy Behar says and the accusations she makes against Tulsi Gabbard. And eventually Tulsi gets around to answering them.
You're on state TV all the time. Why do you go on
what
Fox
TV?
Fox Channel, which is a propaganda network, 16 times with Tucker Carlson? I never see you with Chris Wallace or that other guy. What's his name? Brett Baer. Well, why aren't you on with them? They're definitely middle of the road. Why do you go on with Tucker, who's a liar and a propagandist?
So let me start with how offensive it is to say that I am a witting or unwitting asset of a foreign country, working against the interests of our people and our country, the
not
country that I am willing to lay my life down for. So if you're saying it's not deliberately, then you are implying
it could be
that I am too stupid and too naive and lack the intelligence to know what I am doing. You raised a second issue about why I go on Fox News.
Yeah.
I go on Tucker Carlson, go on Brett Baer, go on Sean Hannity, go on MSNBC, go on CNN. I am here to speak to every single American in this country.
So that's a perfectly rational response. But what Joy Behar is saying, basically, is we leftist women who scream and don't let anybody talk and base our opinions on the applause of the crowd. We are the norm. We are the norm. This is the narrative. We are the norm. And anybody who goes to the right of us is hateful and the state-run media. And it's pretty rich to hear about Fox being state-run media after 8 years of their coverage of the light worker second coming of the Messiah, Barack Obama. So it's a little rich to talk about state-run media. I mean, that was the accusation the right made against the left for 8 years. It is true. There are commentators, there are commentators on Fox News, Laura Ingraham and Hannity, and to a lesser extent, Tucker Carlson, who completely support Donald Trump. That's true. But they are commentators, just like MSNBC as left-wing commentators. Nothing state-run about them. Trump definitely represents what they believe. And the fact that she can't see, that she thinks she's the norm, she thinks she's the middle, and it's just not true. I mean, it is just not true that she's the middle. She is the left. So why can't she say, you know, we're the left and they're the right and they're wrong and we're right? I don't want to silence them. I don't want them to go away. I just want them to stop trying to silence us and stop trying to demonize us. I mean, Google the words cruelty is the point. And this is a meme that they have passed around. It's been in the New York Times. It's been in the Atlantic, that everything that the right is doing, everything that Trump is doing, the cruelty is the point. I mean, I don't think that about the left. I don't sit around and say, oh, you know, yeah, socialism is slavery and the slavery is the point. I know the slavery is not the point. I know they're trying to accomplish something. I think they're wrong in what they're trying to do. You know, we're going to stay on. We're not going to take our usual break. We're going to stay on so you can watch on YouTube and on Facebook. But all the more reason for you to feel a deep sense of guilt, a deep sense of remorse, really feel bad about yourself, and subscribe at dailywire.com. The dailywire.com subscription is now a really, really good deal. Not only is it only 10 bucks a month or 100 bucks for the year, you get this new app, which is great. It's just a great app on your phone or your iPad or whatever. You can look at this app if you are a subscriber, and it'll give you all the good stuff from the Daily Wire. If you're an all-access subscriber, you can talk to us, and we do Ask Me Anything things online. You can come on and talk to me or Ben, or I don't know why you would talk to Knowles, I mean, but you can ask him anything. I'm not sure he knows anything, but you can ask us anything and all this stuff. And of course, the most important thing is you get Another Kingdom a day early, so you cut off one day of the Clavenless weekend, which could increase your chances of surviving till Monday. I can't make any promises. Otherwise, you can get Another Kingdom on Monday for everybody. But let me show you this video from the Daily Signal. This is an amazing story, and it starts with this doctor, and then the second person you'll hear is the spokeswoman for the Daily Signal.
See, according to most mainstream medical organizations, you're transgender.
On YouTube, you're never going to hear that sentence from Dr. Michelle Cretella. YouTube recently removed this Daily Signal video because of one sentence Dr. Cretella, a pediatrician and executive director of the American College of Pediatricians, said about transgender issues in children. YouTube told the Daily Signal that Dr. Cretella's remark violated a YouTube speech policy. That policy states, "Hate speech is not allowed on YouTube. We remove content promoting violence or hatred against individuals or groups based on any of the following attributes. And among the list of attributes are gender identity and sex/gender. Now let's be clear. By any objective measure, Dr. Cretella did not violate that policy.
Here's the line that YouTube cut off. This is what she said. See, if you... Never mind, you guys. See, if you want to cut off a leg or an arm, you're mentally ill. But if you want to cut off healthy breasts or a penis, you're transgender. If you want to cut off a leg or an arm, you're mentally ill. But if you want to cut off healthy breasts or a penis, you're transgender. Now, this is the reason why there should be no hate speech laws. Because when that is defined as hate speech, it's clear that what they're trying to do is control reality. When you try to control, as they do in England, if you call somebody by the wrong pronoun, the police can show up at your house and question you. When they want to tell you what pronoun you have to use, as they try to do in New York with government workers, they are controlling how you can express reality, right? It's fine if you're loopy enough to think that a person who cuts off his penis is suddenly a woman. If you're loopy enough to believe that, you're allowed to express that. I believe in free speech. But if you don't let me use the pronoun that I think is appropriate, you're essentially saying you must see reality this way. And if you don't see it that way, you must lie. By law, you must lie about the reality you see. Now, again, I would think people on the left would find that just as offensive as people on the right. I would say, you know, there are things that feel good in the moment, that feel good in the moment, that really destroy you. So it might feel good. I know with some of these college kids, it feels good to hate on people who say, you know, I don't see it the way you see it. So you should, and they say, well, you should be censored for hate speech. And that feels good to them. That makes them feel strong. But they don't realize, of course, that it's all about who decides. And if they give the government the power to decide on hate speech, one of these days it's going to come back on them. You've seen it happen again and again, where they come after the right, and then they go after the left. And they eat each other. This is the thing that I just think, you know, to me, I just think that the left would be as eager as the right to say, no, Absolutely not. Free speech. Let's hear from everybody. Let's hear every opinion. And it really is interesting to me that they don't censor these neo-Nazis, these alt-right guys who come on and say horrible things about the Jews and the blacks. They don't censor those guys because they know they make the right look bad. But they do censor Dennis Prager, and they do censor things like that because they know they make sense and they know they undermine the left's position. I don't think anybody in America, I don't think we're in danger of the alt-right. I mean, the alt-right, some of their opinions are evil, and I think evil is always a threat. But I don't think this country is evil, and I don't think this country is going to follow down this. You know, this is not 1930s Germany where we just lost a devastating war and our economy is on the ground and all that stuff. That's not happening here. But I would just think the left themselves would say, bring it on. They censor people who make perfectly reasonable statements like that, but they don't censor Nick Fuentes, for instance, who's like this sniggering, anti-Semitic, racist guy. They don't censor him, and I don't want them to censor him. I don't want them to censor him, but they don't censor him because they know he's not a threat. They know he makes the right look bad. They censor that stuff because they know it undermines their entire worldview, and that's what they're trying to protect. All right, I want to end a final reflection before we head into the Clavenless Weekend. If you're not a subscriber and you're not haven't got another kingdom and you're just kind of circling the drain in these final 5 minutes of Clavenly goodness, I want to end talking about a couple of movies I saw because they really did surprise me with their points of view. The first is Shaft. Now, this is the new Shaft, where Shaft's son comes and he teams up with Samuel Jackson, the old Shaft, and to break a you know, a criminal ring. And I love action movies. Action movies are for men what romantic movies are for women, right? We always make fun of women for watching these romantic movies that have the same plot over and over again. And then we go off and watch these movies where guys beat up like 1,500 people alone and we love them. And so everybody has his own drug. I love action movies and I love Samuel Jackson. I think the guy has developed a persona in these movies that is absolutely riveting and he does it so well. This introduces also two young people who have I just never saw before. They've been around, but kind of in other things that I haven't watched. A guy named Jesse Usher and Alexandra Shipp, who are both absolutely delightful in it and play the young leads so that Samuel Jackson can be the old cool guy. Richard Roundtree is also the original Shaft, is also in it, and he is just absolutely great. So I was a little suspicious when I saw that 32%, this got a 32% Rotten Tomatoes rating from the critics and a 94% from the people. Okay, the people love this movie and I loved it too. It's not Shakespeare. It is an action movie. You know, if you love action movies like I do, it's a wonderful action movie and I really had a great time. I'm not telling you it's Othello or, you know, Hamlet or anything like that. I'm just saying. So here's the scene where the father and son meet, and the father has been raised by the mom, and he's this kind of upright millennial type, and he comes and sees Shaft, who is just a womanizer and a violent guy and a you know, tough guy, and here it is.
Junior?
Yeah.
You're doing it. Come on. What the f*** are you wearing?
I thought Irresistible was some kind of stripper name or something. I looked at your driver's license and this is for real. I'll call you.
No, you won't.
Yeah, I will. Hell of a Pilates teacher.
You want a drink?
I'm good.
Now, I can fix you a bubbly water with a wedge of lime if you'd like.
It's 11 o'clock in the morning. Like, you aren't shaming me by suggesting that me drinking water would actually be a bad thing.
So, Trump. That was an interesting Freudian slip. Shaft now teaches this kid how to be a man. And you see him, he's womanizing. He gives that girl a slap on the butt as she walks out the door. He walks in front of traffic and traffic stops for him, you know, and he is a man. And when he gets insulted, he takes it out of you in blood, right?
I'm Donald Trump and I approve this message.
Yeah, exactly. So There's a scene in this, and this is a little bit of a spoiler, but it doesn't give away any of the plot. You know what's going to be in the movie, where Usher and Alexandra Shipper, who's his not girlfriend, he's just a friend. He's just a friend. And Shaft keeps saying to him, you want to tap that ass, you know? And he goes, no, we're just friends. There's a scene in this movie where they're having dinner together, and it's this friendly millennial girl-boy dinner and all this stuff. And the bad guys come in, and the kid takes a gun and starts opening fire. And the girl looks at this, and her eyes light up. It is one of the most politically incorrect scenes I have seen in a long time. And if you want to know why this got a 32% rating from the critics and 94% from the people, that's why. Because these people on the left, I'm telling you, they're not just enemies of the right. They're enemies of all the people, because all of us know that a lady likes a man to be a man, which is basically the theme of the movie. I thought Another Kingdom was politically incorrect. It is, but this is also at that level and just a really, really enjoyable film, and you should watch it. And the other movie I saw recently was, people kept telling me to watch Breakthrough because it is a it's a Christian movie that they say is above the level of most Christian movies. And one of my things, I keep complaining about the nature of Christian movies. And I've had a new attitude toward that. I've changed my mind about this a little bit, which is this. Yes, they're bad, but that doesn't mean that you can't take that vehicle and make it good. And this makes it better. There's just no question about it. It is a better level of Christian movie. I still had some moments of Christian sentimentality that were intolerable, but also it was very good. It's very sentimental. It's probably more of a girl movie than a boy movie, but still I was moved by it. It tells a true story about a kid who fell through the ice and who basically lost his life, and about what happened when a community gathered together in faith. And it is a moving movie, and it has, what's really cool about it is it, you know, I travel in the Christian community, and it does show you some of the tensions that grow up, and it shows you also that even, you know, I've lived through an experience like this. I have lived through an experience of basically a medical miracle where somebody would not allow any kind of negative talk, and somebody believed that any negative talk at all was getting in between God and the miracle he was going to perform. And the guy was annoying, and he was controlling, and it was absurd. And the miracle happened. And so that's kind of what this movie is about. It's obviously not giving, you can tell what it's going to be about from the beginning, but it's better. It is a better Christian movie at another level. And I think the first 30 minutes of it, I thought were actually really good. And the last 10 minutes of it, I thought were really good. And in between, there was some Christian stuff that was the old kind of squeaky clean stuff. But still, it really had a lot of good stuff and good performances. I got to stop there. The Klavenless Weekend is upon you. If you're not a subscriber, and if you don't have the new Another Kingdom, you're going to have to wait till Monday to get the new episode of Another Kingdom. The odds of your making it through that many days without your Klaven, your hit of Klaven, very tough to judge. But survivors will gather here on Monday. I'll be here. I'm Andrew Klaven. This is The Andrew Klaven Show. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to help spread the word, give us a 5-star review and also tell your friends to subscribe too. We're available on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, be sure to check out the other Daily Wire podcasts, including The Ben Shapiro Show, The Matt Walsh Show, and The Michael Knowles Show. Thanks for listening. The Andrew Klaven Show is produced by Austin Stevens and directed by Mike Joyner. Executive producer, Jeremy Boring. Senior producer, Jonathan Hay, and our supervising producers are Mathis Glover and Robert Sterling. Assistant director, Pavel Wydowski. Edited by Adam Sayevitz. Audio is mixed by Mike Cormina. Hair and makeup is by Jessua Alvera. Animations are by Cynthia Angulo. And our production assistant is Nick Sheehan. The Andrew Klaven Show is a Daily Wire production. Copyright Daily Wire 2019.
Democrats' impeachment attempt isn't merely a hoax or a witch hunt. It's a coup. And you don't need to take my word for it. That's the word being used by the lawyer for the whistleblower who kicked off the latest impeachment push in the first place. We will blow the whistle on the whistleblower's coup. Check it out on The Michael Knowles Show.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.